This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings, and none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
It takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Clarko! Had to say it.
You're in a Bogan comes out when we play Kelly Clarkson. I can't imagine what you'd be like when we play Pink or, God forbid, actually on Joy, AC/DC.
Well, but you know, like for me, and I think I've said this before, like Kelly Clarkson kind of comes across as the type of person that you could be like, hey, Clarko. How you going? She's just got that aura about her.
God, I swear sometimes you make me snort, giggle, and all those kind of... Okay, so you would walk up to a massive American pop star and go, hey, Clarko.
Yeah, why not?
Well, you can't really do that to Adam Lambert, can you?
No, you get the impression that...
He wouldn't appreciate it. But Clarko...
I think Clarko would like a slap on the back. Hey, Clarko, how's it going? This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. It's 10 minutes to 7.
Jade, that was Will Young, Jealousy, the Motto Blanco remix, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did see a couple of Will Young singles, and I do mean CD singles, when I was in London a few weeks ago. And, Lord, it was tempting to spend, like, I don't know, £16 or something for these. Yeah, I know. I see your eyes popping out.
Mm-hmm.
It was like £16 or something like that for a CD single because... the demand is there, and I think fans and collectors want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely one of those people. When I go overseas, I like to shop for CDs and kind of see what's on sale and what the local edition looks like. I'm kind of geeky.
Sniff the booklet.
Yeah, there's where possible, yes.
Yeah.
Usually there's a security tag and case around it, so that limits my experience.
Yeah, so that's not really about, you know, stopping shoplifting. That's about stopping people like you sniffing the booklets.
And getting my germs on there and all that kind of stuff. How ridiculous. I mean, this day and age that we're living in, it's going too far.
Yeah.
But Jade, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I would spend money on when I'm overseas. How do you splurge and treat yourself when you're on holidays?
Well, I like to buy clothes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't hear you ranting and raving about clothes shopping.
No.
Ever.
But more because, okay, so Dave, one of my big, and I've raved and ranted about this before to you, is about corporate clothes that are available here for women. So, you know, I find like if I want something that's not too, I'm not particularly girly in dress.
Mm.
If you want to buy something that is nice, that isn't too expensive, that isn't too girly, it's really, really difficult to find here. So, you know, my girlfriend is American, so every year I'll go over to America. I can find stuff that I can wear to work that meets my requirements of it's got actual real pockets.
That's a thing with some girl pants, isn't it? They don't have real pockets.
No, I hate it. It's the worst thing ever.
Why even create this illusion of a pocket?
Yeah.
It's just, it angers me.
And I mean, if you're motivated enough, in some cases you're allowed to unpick the stitched up pocket.
No.
And then, and it's just like, you know, I find that, you know, due to obviously a much bigger market, there's much more of available and variety.
And it's cheaper as well.
It's cheaper.
You say that it's about pop artist versus character.
Pop artist versus character.
Forget what you've heard.
Now do listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave, 12 minutes past 7.
Jade, now Two Door Cinema Club is one of those bands, and it is quite rare for you and I to agree on a band, but they are one of those bands that we both inherently love. They're quite new and up and coming, though, so I don't think they have a massive following here in Australia just yet.
No. So they had an album out, which was their debut, like,
I'm going to say 2 years ago. It was Tourist History.
Yeah, it's called Tourist History, and had some really good songs on it. I played it on our show, and then you were like, oh, well, I like that, and I went off and listened to more of their stuff. They're a good sort of indie, they've got pop sensibility, I feel
most
like.
Most definitely,
sort of upbeat-ish with their songs. And they've got a new album called Beacon, which is due out in September. On the 19th, so a couple of weeks back, they released the first single from the album. Well, last week it was. They released the first single from the album, which is called Sleep Alone, which is the song that we're going to talk about and play for you today, which is our music pick of the week.
And they put it out as a free download as well.
They did for 24 hours. So you had to be a big fan.
And you got to be like on the interwebs at that time, don't you?
Yeah, so goodness. For 24 hours you could download for free. You know, I was reading an article where Alex, who is the lead singer of Two Door Cinema Club, was saying, oh, look, this album, you can expect it to be a bit more intimate, but at the same time a bit more, you know, epic, basically.
Now, Two Door Cinema Club, they're working with producer Jackknife Lee, who's worked with you to REM and Block Party. So I think that's an indication of the kind of coolness we can expect. So September is when the album Beacon comes out. We're going to have a listen now to the first single from that album. Let us know what you think. It's called Sleep Alone. Send us your thoughts, 0427JOY949, or you can email us perhaps.
Yeah, email us on air at joy.org.au.
Yes. Coming up after this, we got to talk about giveaways. Yes.
Yes, giveaways.
My heart is racing, Jade. Yeah. What's going on?
It's getting there.
It's getting there.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, the drums is giving me palpitations. Now, Brett, we were talking about our favourite thing of the 90s, and we can't help but wonder if you maybe have experienced some spectacular 90s fashion in your time.
I was around during the 90s, and just touching on the nightclubs and like back in the day, and then you had to get dressed up to go to a nightclub. There was none of this t-shirt and trainers business now.
So what would one wear to the club?
Shirt with collar.
Really?
Unless you were going to, a club where you were only dancing in a pair of underpants or something. But okay. Yes, shirt with collar.
So you basically never wore shirt with collar then when you were going out clubbing?
You know nothing about my early clubbing days, let me tell you. Underwear wouldn't have gone down well in a country nightclub. So my fashion was largely inspired by television.
Yeah.
So 90210, I was a bit of a Brandon bowling shirt fan. And another one, E Street. Anyone who's listening who used to watch E Street will know the fashion. Jeans of multi-panels, one leg black, one leg white. That was a very good look.
It's a little Cruella de Vil.
Yeah, if you want to get a taste of it, check out like the Euphoria and Melissa video clips from the time, and that's kind of the look. That was big. I had some great clothes.
You know, I'd actually forgotten a lot about E Street until mutual Twitter follower Adam with an E was tweeting about Bruce Samazan. I totally forgot he was like a person.
Oh yeah, get this. My friend whose birthday it was yesterday. Last year I gave her the E Street soundtrack, which I got on eBay, and Bruce Samazan has a rap song on there,
well,
and it's so woeful.
We were discussing, you know, all the people out of E Street who had their own music career, and Bruce Samazan was
so
one
Melissa
of them.
Kautz is and the most successful.
Tony Perrin had a song.
The Teen Queens.
I mean, come on, that's one of the beautiful thing about the 90s. We definitely have our, you know, soapy to pop star kind of transitions, didn't we? Most definitely. You're listening to Different Strokes with Jade and Dave on Joy 94.9. Send us a text about your favorite thing about the 90s, and you could be in the running to win a double pass to see Girlfriend Boyfriend.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave, 17 minutes to 8.
Now, Jade, we got a text here from, oh my goodness, Keza, all the way from Yorkshire in the UK, saying, hi, Joy, how are you? Great show. Lots of love. Yay.
Yay.
That's like the other end of the world.
It is.
And I don't know how late it is over there, but it's...
I wonder if Keza has like a favourite thing from the 90s.
I wonder
if it was East 17. Brett was telling us about his East 17 jeans.
Now, Jade, Twitter, what is happening up in there?
Breaking news from the UK, Dave. The North Korean women's soccer team walked off the pitch during their Olympic match in Glasgow because their images were shown on a screen with the South Korean flag behind them.
Oh, my goodness. What a blunder.
Yeah, the game ended up running like an hour late as a result. They had to go into, you know, the change rooms and apologise profusely, and then they only agreed to come back out if each of them could be shown on the screen behind the North Korean flag.
Yes, and, you know, North Korea is not a country to play with when it comes to patriotism. Mm-mm. I mean, no. That is... royal blunder.
But the biggest news happening on Twitter of recent times, Dave, is Sally Ride, who was the first female astronaut, US female astronaut into space, who passed away during the week. And it was sort of revealed in her obituary that she had been in a relationship with a woman for 27 years. And it sort of led to these interesting discussions now about coming out and how, you know, she's obviously... she was not known to be out prior to that, but she was obviously in a long-term committed relationship. And then, you know, there's been a discussion about someone like Anderson Cooper, who sort of came out in a very simple way. He wrote in a letter, I am gay, blah, blah, blah.
And hip-hop artist Frank Ocean came out on a Tumblr blog post, I believe.
Yeah, and another good example is Jim Parsons, who is one of the lead actors from Big Bang Theory, where it was
just in an interview
mentioned in passing that he has, you know, a partner, blah, 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 you know. So it's an interesting transition or trend that we're seeing now where it's almost sort of a fait accompli mention of, partner or whatever, rather than, you know, what Alan had to go through when she came out, where it was like, you know, big mainstream news, media,
it was just like
front
media
headline,
circus.
Yeah, that kind
it
of...
It was just, it was very confronting. It was very confronting to have... For Ellen to have come out at a time like that with that kind of, you know, level of scrutiny and level of media attention. But nowadays, I think the tone is more accepting and just going, oh, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to get that that sort of interesting, you know, that blend of how people are coming out now. Mm. You know, there are people making those big announcements and then there's people who sort of are doing it quietly. And it's good to see that there's, you know, these differing examples and people across the spectrum, you know, that's across three generations of people. You know, Frank Ocean's in his 20s, Anderson Cooper in his 40s, and then Sally Ride died at 61.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good to sort of, you know, get that good breadth of people as well.
Yes, Jade, last night I caught up with Australian X Factor contestant Christina Paree, who was in last year's series, which a lot of us would know would feature the winner, Reese Maston, because Reese has done quite well. See, Christina was, I think, throughout the competition seen as the female version of Reese because she's kind of rocky and she's young and all that. In any case, she's now signed to Warner Music Australia.
And we shouldn't confuse her with Christina Perry.
Oh.
Who we've also interviewed.
Oh, yes. Have I got a story for you about that, which I actually, embarrassingly enough, told Christina Paree what happened. So you guys will have to listen. 16 and Unstoppable is the new single and EP. The full EP actually comes out on Friday.
Oh.
So yeah, in any case, this is my chat with her yesterday, and we're going to play this song right after. You're listening to Different Strokes with Jade and Dave on Joy. Christina Paree, can I just say, first of all, it's really wonderful to finally talk to you. I'm sure you're dying to hear the story of how I even got asked to do this interview, because truth is, I thought I had an interview with you maybe 2 months ago.
Really?
Yeah. Swear to God, I thought I had an interview with you. I was ready with all my X Factor questions. I was ready with all my Mel B questions. And then I realized it was Christina Paree.
The confusion is working the other way now, because usually they get me confused with her, but now you've got her confused with me.
I know, it's really bizarre, because usually it would be the other way around, but I'm just like, Oh, so I'm not talking to the Australian girl. Oh, well, I'm not sure anymore.
Oh, well, you're talking to her now, so it's all good.
It's been a year since you auditioned for X Factor. Please tell me, do you still get nightmares from, like, you know, boot camp and those elimination night kind of nerves?
It's actually so funny. I like, now a year after and seeing the auditions and the ads that they've got for this year coming up, I think it's, I'm just like, oh, I don't know exactly how you feel. And I think just if I watch it this year, if I'm trying to watch it, I think just watching, I just feel like, I know exactly how you feel. And I just remember how hard boot camp was. That was pretty intense. And I've heard this year it's even more intense. So
you came sixth in the series, but you were, I would say, definitely one of the standout acts from the pack. Is there a bit of rivalry between you and the other contestants just to see who can be the next big thing?
I don't think there's any rivalry. We're all really cool. Like, we still chat, and if we see each other somewhere, we'll be like, oh, hey, what's happening? We're all really friendly. And we knew that there wasn't really, like, there's not another Christina Pri out there that I'm trying to be. And there's not another Reese Maston that Reese is trying to be. And there's not another Jenny Ruffo that Johnny's trying to top. So I just think that we were so in our own skin and we knew exactly what we were doing. So we're just like, we're working artist to artist now. Like, it's we help. So, yeah, we're all very friendly with each other and we're all very supportive of each other.
Now, coming off a show like that, you would need a hell of a lot of fan votes and, you know, you got to know how to maintain your fan base and whatnot. So how have you kept your fan base close to you?
Twitter and Facebook have been really helpful. And I also do a thing called Form Spring Friday, which is a website called Form Spring. And basically where people can ask me questions, anonymous or not, and everyone knows, like, it's routine now. I'm just like, guys, it's Friday. And they're like, ah. So then they jump on and ask me questions. I think it's just taking the time to talk to your fans. And Twitter's extremely easy for that. Like, pop up in your mentions, write back to them. Like, it's super easy.
So you definitely write back to your fans, do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I sit there and I'm like, ah. Like, I write back. So I don't see why I wouldn't want to talk to them. Like, they're my fans and they have the same interests as me. And, yeah, they're just, yeah, I love talking to them.
When your first single, 16 and Unstoppable, came out, what was the general reaction on Twitter and all that? Because I understand that you would have definitely put it online first before anywhere else.
Yes, definitely. When the video went live, there was a bit of controversy because the video is basically teenagers just running amok on the street, just, I swear, the day we did that video, that was the most illegal things I've done, like, my whole life. I was like, oh, this is cool, all right, we can do that, whatever. I think people just took it a bit too seriously. I was like, people saw some bullying because I silly sprayed a girl or something, there was stealing and vandalizing and running amok in a shop and stuff, but I wasn't thinking what's going to please mothers. I was thinking what 16 Unstoppable mean. And I was like, okay, break it down. Unstoppable, can't be stopped. A rebellion, basically.
Are you a rebel like that? Like, is this something you would normally do?
It's not something to that extreme. I'm completely against stealing. I think if you like something, you go buy it. Like, I'm completely against stealing. And I can't say I've ever trashed a frozen yogurt store. So, no, they're not things I do. It's basically me showing my rock side in a pop song.
Yeah.
Rock was rebellion. The song was pop. I come from a rock punk background. And to be chucked in this pop world, I still wanted to keep it. So I was actually fine with the controversy and people talking about it and people being like, what is she doing? Because as long as it sets that stone, so people are like, all right, well, that's what she does. So
I think it's going to be hard because you've come from a talent show where they've only seen a G-rated side of you. I mean, I'm not saying that you're X-rated or anything, but truth is that we don't really know who you are. So I think it's so important that with your first video, first single, make a stance and declare to people what kind of an artist you are, because you often don't get that chance on a reality show where it's a different theme every week or different genre. So
yeah, no, definitely. I completely agree with that. It is me showing you what you like, and if people like it, if people don't, well, that's fine. You were never really going to like me anyway, because there would have been a hell of a lot more coming after. So.
Christina Pri. I just felt like saying her name again and again and again.
Yeah.
Different Strokes with Jade and Dave here on Joy 94.9. Jade, that's what a 16-year-old talks like these days. It's been a long time since I hung around teenagers. Made me feel very young.
You should have talked about Tumblr, Dave.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and we were, like, really surprised that she was getting on Form Spring every Friday. And I'm like, is Form Spring still a thing? Yeah. Apparently it is for, you know, young pop stars.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave, 23 minutes past 8.
Jade, we are giving away tickets to Rick Astley's concert. Can you believe that I just said that out loud and on air?
Yes, you will get a double pass, Dave.
Oh my goodness.
So not just one.
So you don't have to go alone. You can bring a friend.
Yeah. It's at the Palace Theatre in Bourke Street on Friday, November 30 at 7:30 p.m. Dave, if people want to go in the draw to see Rick Astley.
Very simple. Because you guys know that Never Gonna Give You Up is his major hit, right? Mm-hmm. But what you guys might not know is that tomorrow is the 25th birthday of Never Gonna Give You Up. It's been out for 25 years.
Yeah.
We're asking people, what would you never give up? Brett, what would you never give up?
Okay, as I have recently given up sugar... sugar, preservatives, anything good, anything involving fat or good things that aren't fresh. But the one thing that I didn't give up was coffee. I know it's predictable, but I'll
so
have
you
to
don't have
coffee.
Sugar in your coffee.
I've never had sugar in my coffee, but I'm on this health kick thing where I can't eat anything that's got preservatives or colours or anything in it. So it's kind of a caveman diet, but it's not that stupid paleo diet.
No.
Is
you're
that kind
having...
of when it's like when Oprah only ate, wouldn't eat white foods because she said, you know, white foods had like lots of carbs in them?
Yeah, actually, I heard Mama Lim talk about this. Mama Lim kind of switched the whole family onto brown rice for a bit, and then she realized, you know what, this tastes like crap.
Yeah, it does.
We're going to go back to just
it
fat.
It takes three times as long to cook, and it tastes rubbish. Trust me, I'm eating it now. Yes.
Suffering.
The thing I love about Mama Lim, though, is her fads are like her fads now are what were fads in the 90s. Like,
oh, don't tell her that.
But it's no, but it's great.
She thinks she's like groundbreaking.
But it's great because we get to like relive things as they, you know, and we get rejuvenated by like that sense
her
of
amazing discovery innocence. Leave my mum out of this. You're listening to Different Strokes with Jade and Dave on Joy 94.9. If you want to go into the draw to win a double pass to see Rick Astley, tell us what would you never give up, 0427 Joy 949 with your member number or email us
on air at joy.org.au. This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave, 16 minutes to 9.
Now, Jade, what we do definitely look forward to every Thursday here on Different Strokes is your app review, because it always shows that you're busy, preoccupied with something on your phone, and it's so crazy, so crazy. So please let it be something productive this week and not another game.
It is a game.
Ugh.
But it's a learning game, Dave.
Oh, so you're trying to bring some edutainment into the place now.
Yes. The game is called Amazing Alex, and it's a new game from the guys at Rovio who made Angry Birds.
I thought you were going to say, you know, from the creators of Dora the Explorer.
No. So, you know, so that's... I mean, the thing about Angry Birds, yes, it's a complete addiction, but it's got an element of, you know, there's strategy and physics involved in, you know, improving your score. So, yes, it's a game, it's a time waster, all of those things, but there is, like, an element of you having to learn how to, you know, readjust and make life decisions. In fact, there are articles about how Angry Birds is like, you know, actually helping you sort of, you know, can, if you apply the same rules of Angry Birds into everyday life, how it can assist you. Anyways,
you're sounding very crazy.
But anyway, so Amazing Alex is similar in that it's being described as a physics puzzle game, and it stars this blonde boy by the name of Alex as the main character. And he's kind of sitting there bored one day, and he's got, you know, a series of sort of random objects in his house or in his classroom. So, you know, there's books, there's some shelving, there's just bits of pipe, there's, you know...
Okay.
Tennis balls, all
so
of that kind
of
stuff.
So what's the aim?
The aim here is for you to use those random objects and cause and effect thing where you'll like set off a chain reaction basically, and you're going to try and get, so the in most cases it's like bounce the soccer ball into this basket or, you know, cause you've got to like hit, there's like a series of stars that you've got to set it up so you can hit that to get a certain amount of points.
Sounds like something that people of all ages can enjoy.
It is, and it is something where you've got to kind of work out, oh, well, that didn't work. How can I do, you know, how can I move this, flip, you know, this pipe here? How can I move the ball slightly.
Now, quick question, Jade. If you've got one of those fancy devices that you play this on, that, you know, could you possibly like tilt your device and for it to work, or do you have to use your fingers to kind of move the objects?
Basically, all you're going to do, you're going to slide and move the objects.
With your fingers.
Yeah, and then you'll set them into place. You'll hit play, and then it sort of sets off that chain reaction. And it goes through. And the good thing about this, Dave, is it does, if when you earn a certain amount of points, you can build your own levels and then share them with your friends. That's where it gets social, Dave.
This 2 hours has just flown by.
It has, really.
Yeah. Or is it 2.5 hours? I always seem to forget.
It's 2.5 hours. The first half an hour, you know.
It's like warm up, really. Yeah. We don't really do anything in that. From 6:30 to 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just getting warmed up.
But
stretches.
The first sort of half hour, there's like me, you and Lou, who's, you know, driving in to work. And
that's about it. And then Brett comes on and, you know, he turns the party.
Yeah.
In any case, look, if you want to catch up with us at any point during the week.
Yes.
On the interwebs and such.
You can if you go to joy.org.au/different strokes. There you'll find a link to our website, our blog, our podcast. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're everywhere, Dave.
We really are everywhere. You know, it's really hard to kind of get through, social media without bumping into Jade and I.
Yeah.
Especially Jade. She's on a lot. She's got nothing better to do.
It's my job, Dave.
Is it really? Oh, is it now? Are you official, like, you know, social media person for our show now?
Yeah, I'm social media personality. It's my actual title.
Social media personality. That's something that people have called Christina Milian after her pop career failed, and she's like doing social media stuff for The Voice America or something.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That sounds like a good gig. I reckon I could do The Voice America.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could, Jade, being a personality like yourself. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. In any case, Anastasia's got the morning show coming up, so that should be plenty of fun. Going to leave you now with Spice Girls that says move over.
Ooh.
How appropriate, I say. How appropriate.
We'll move over
for Anastasia.
Yeah.
Funking to the 90s, Jade. That's how we roll. You're on Joy.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.